Tanuj, first story on the agenda today that you've been looking at quite closely is Sri Lanka holding a what's turning out to be a crucial presidential election. Of course, they always are. Analysts, though, predicting a pretty close fight between the two main candidates.
Yes, you know, in fact, 2 months ago, it looked like it would be a landslide victory for incumbent Mahinda Rajapaksa, who has been in power since 2005. But now things are far from certain. And this snap election was called 2 years in advance. And until 3 months ago, there was no clear challenger to Rajapaksa. But after his one-time ally and former minister, M. Sirisena, moved to the opposition, things have taken an unexpected turn. And now analysts are predicting a close fight. And if you look at over the last couple of years, especially after the end of the civil war in 2009, Rajapaksa, he started riding on a wave of popularity. He did initiate many economic reforms as well. He's been given credit for that. But now he faces claims of nepotism and favoring his close family members and friends for influential positions within the government and even in the judiciary.
And of course, there are a lot of social problems in Sri Lanka at the moment as well. There's big problems economically there. And, you know, the country itself are struggling when it comes to basically just putting food on the table for their people. And jobs is a big problem.
And this is precisely what the opposition is aiming at. In fact, Sirisena, the opposition candidate, he plans to do away with the presidency system. That's one of his promises if his group happens to come to power. And he says the country will revert back to parliamentary democracy system. Plus, you know, there's a lot of concern, like you mentioned, about jobs and saying that it's the wealthy who are doing well, whereas the poorer sections and weaker sections of the society are largely ignored. There are allegations regarding that as well. And these are some of the points that have been raised by the opposition-led group. Whereas Rajapaksa and his party, you know, vouches for the economic growth that Sri Lanka has had over the last 3 to 4 years. And again, both these parties have their support base within different sections of the society. Some are counting on minority groups, some on the majority Buddhist sections of the population. But it remains to be seen how the, you know, the results will be, because, you know, like I said, until 3 months ago, there was no clear challenger. It's only over the last 2 months that a clear challenger has come out against Rajapaksa.
What about the turnout, Sanuj? And when do we expect results?
Well, so far, election officials are seeing a turnout of around 65% to 80%, and results are expected to emerge tomorrow afternoon because vote counting will be continuing until later tonight. And analysts say outcome before that is hard to predict, even to give rough estimates, because they don't have readily available polling data. And it's not an electronic voting system, it's a manual voting process, so it will take time for the entire system to be complete. And again, because of this manual process, there could be, you know, the scope for fraud or other irregularities as well. And if the victory margin or the results margin is very narrow, then chances are there could be chaos for a couple of weeks or months, with both sides, you know, fighting for their own share of victory and saying that their party came out in front.
How much fear is there over fraud?
In fact, there have been apprehension and concerns raised by groups including Amnesty International and the US government. Foreign Secretary John Kerry also making a comment saying that the elections have to be free and fair, because apparently even today itself, during the course of the proceedings, there have been signs of intimidation, especially in the northern parts of the country, some of the electorate not being allowed to enter into the polling booths. So there have been concerns in that direction, but by and large, proceedings have been peaceful, except for, you know, stray incidents of violence in certain pockets of the country.
Okay, let's move on to the second story. Seems like we've got kind of a story a week when it comes to energy or environmental issues in India. Here's another one. India planning a major push towards electric vehicles, which is, of course, when you consider congestion in India's major metropolis, major cities, well needed. Government plans to spend $240 million over the next 2 years.
In fact, the Indian government plans to spend this amount on incentives and subsidies for makers and buyers of electric vehicles. And it's part of an effort to have at least 6 million electric cars on the roads by 2020. And it said that even though the government is planning to spend $240 million, a similar amount or even much more than that would be, or is rather expected to be, spent by the auto industry, especially on the research and development side of things. And it said that details of this scheme could be announced in the country's union budget later this year.
And it will take an awful lot of money being put into the infrastructure there as well alone, because, you know, electric cars are all very well and good, but they tend to have a very short battery life. So putting those plug-in in stations so that they can recharge the batteries is going to cost an awful lot of money. So how does the government plan to implement this move?
Well, as of now, the government is saying that funds will be allocated to the research and development, to the auto industry, creating a separate fund from, there's something called an auto cess that it gets for every vehicle sold in the country. So that cess, funds from that cess will go towards, so, you know, a separate kitty. But analysts say the funds have to come immediately and that the policy should focus on the infrastructure side and the battery technology. You know, they say the government's target of putting 6 million electric vehicles on the roads by 2020 is quite far-fetched. Only if you have the infrastructure to support those numbers can you achieve those targets. Therefore, funds have to come soon, because back in 2013, a similar initiative was announced by the previous government in power, again, to push hybrid and electric vehicles. But now, 2 years later down the line, you know, we haven't heard much of that. So it shouldn't go down that similar route.
It's interesting, you know, because I was in a hybrid taxi the other day. And I got in, and they've got the different sort of writing, the blue, and they make a big thing of the hybrid thing on the side, they buy transport vehicles, and I said to the taxi driver, it's a nice new car. I said, oh, this is great, this is really cool. And he just looked at me and went, it's rubbish. There's no pickup, it's rubbish. I thought, oh dear. I mean, the idea is great, and the technology is kind of there or thereabouts, but not quite there yet. In India, though, Sanuj, what's the end game? What does India hope to achieve in terms of benefits, but I suppose more importantly, saving money in the long run?
Money and also cutting down on carbon emissions, because for a country like India, supporters say that, you know, a country which depends on imported oil, electric vehicles could make sense from the energy security point of view. It could have climate change benefits, could also improve India's standing in global climate change discussions, because currently India is the third most polluting country in the world after the US and China. And the government also expects these electric vehicles to help save at least 2 million tons of liquid fuel annually, help reduce carbon emission by up to 1.5%. But, you know, how this plan plays out remains to be seen. You know, right now it's in the proposal and in the discussion stage. Further details are expected in mid-2015, especially when the union budget is unveiled.
It's good news, though, however you cut that one up. Sanuj Sharif from the Asian News Desk at the ARN News Centre. Sanuj, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.